reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17, I think. 17, text 21, the translation. Oh, best among the brahmanas, the emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement of the bull, the personality of religion, was full of philosophy and knowledge, and the king was satisfied, since he could understand that the suffering bull was not an ordinary one. Unless one is perfectly conversant with the law of the Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching philosophical truths. The emperor, being also on equal level of sagacity, replied to the point without doubts or mistakes. Oman ganatimrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuram ilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the setting of this section of the Bhagavatam is the meeting between Parikshit Maharaj and Dharma personified as a bull, Brisha. And when he met Dharma, then Parikshit was asking, why are you suffering? You're crying. Your legs are broken. Why are you suffering? What is the cause? And then in several verses which we've heard, Dharma replied, trying to ascertain the cause of his suffering. So a few verses ago, he said, Klesha Bijani. Klesha Bijani. Seed of suffering. He replied, I'm not sure what the root cause of my suffering is. What is the root cause of my suffering? And then he gave different replies. Maybe it's because I heard the wrong philosophy. I'm suffering because I heard the wrong philosophy. Tarka, Pratishta, Shrutiya, Vibhina. There's Naya, there's Karma Mimamsa. There's so many different philosophies. Patanjali's yoga system. So maybe I'm suffering. But no, that's not the cause of suffering. I'm suffering because of my karma. The bad reactions of my karma. So there's different causes of suffering. So now this verse now is introducing, it's an introduction to the reply of Parikshit Maharaj. How will he reply? How will he respond? But in this verse, Suta Goswami, who is speaking to the sages at Namisharanya and recounting this narration and this holy meeting of Dharma and Parikshit, he's explaining some of the qualities of this Parikshit. He said that he was samahitena manasa. He was hearing with great attention. For example, if someone is a good doctor and a patient comes to see that doctor, he has some problem, some disease, some ailment, some discomfort, and he approaches the doctor and says, Doctor, I'm suffering. So then a good doctor, how will he listen to that patient? That good doctor will listen with two qualities. Two qualities will be manifest in that doctor as he's listening to the patient. One quality is compassion. His heart will be moved. His heart will be moved by the discomfort and the suffering of the patient. Karuna, compassion. That's one quality of his hearing. And the second quality is that he will hear with great attention, because it's his profession. And not only is it his profession, but it may be his very heart's work, because many people enter the medical profession because they're heart people, not just paisa people. Many people enter the medical profession to make money. But many people are, they have udara, they have this mood of welfare. They want to help people. I want to help people, I want to cure people. I really want to benefit and help suffering people with surgery, with medicine, with application of medical principles and science. So they're moved, their motivation to enter the medical profession is karuna, compassion, and love. So the doctor will hear with this quality, a compassionate heart, which is required to be a good doctor, a real doctor. And second quality, which is also extremely important, is he will hear with great attention. The person is complaining, and he's saying, "Oh yeah, that's nice. Oh yeah, what else? What else? What other complaints do you have?" And Oh, you have a headache. Oh, and you're passing blood through your nose. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Anything else? Oh, and you haven't slept in 3 days. Oh, that's nice. And you haven't passed tool in 2 days. Oh, that's good. So this is not the proper listening. He's looking at his watch. He's thinking, "Oh, I have to meet my wife. Oh, I have to go to the golf club. I have to go to the golf club this afternoon. We're having a match with my friends." No, he will listen like this. Yes. And then he will ask questions because he's so absorbed. "Oh, you have a headache. Well, what kind of headache? Is it a frontal headache? Is it only in the temporal region? Is it come from the back to the front? When does your headache occur? In the night, in the day, after you eat, before you eat?" How much, we have some doctors in our audience, how much attentive he will be. The person says, "I have a headache." He says, "Doctor, I have a headache." And the doctor will ask 15 questions about that headache. Who could imagine that a Shirdard headache would have so many questions? Is it a headache after you eat? Is it a burning headache? Is it a hot? Anyone who's a doctor, they understand some of these things. You can write a whole book about headaches, and they do. So the point is that the doctor will listen to his patient's suffering with great attention and great compassion. So this is being mentioned here, samahitena manasa. Who is the doctor? The doctor is Parikshit. Who is the patient? The patient is Dharma, Brishadharma, the Dharma, the bull of Dharma. And what is the difficulty of Dharma? This klesha bijani. There's a cause, there's a root cause of my suffering. The demoniac rulers, the irreligiosity pervading the world. Kali Yuga is coming on and taking over. This is the cause. So these, we can draw from this verse many points, obviously, because the Bhagavatam is unlimited. This is the Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is Krishna himself, Krishna Sarupam. Is Krishna unlimited? Yes. Krishna's name is Anantam. Right? It's Advaitam, Achutam, Anantam, Ananta Rupam. He's Ananta as Shesha or Balaram expansion. He's Ananta. And he is Ananta. He is unlimited. There is unlimited glories to his beauty, unlimited glories to his holy name. It never reaches a final point. This is how unlimited. So the Bhagavatam is similarly unlimited. Just like it's a slight diversion, but it's sweet. So we will go on a tangent together. And hopefully we will come back to the point. But we will all go on a tangent. Tangent means a line off the main line, isn't it? Something like this, a tangent. There's a straight line and a line going like this is a tangent. So we're discussing about the unlimited nature of Bhagavatam and how many points can be derived from one verse of the Bhagavatam. As much as we perceive the unlimited nature of Krishna, that's how much we can perceive the unlimited nature of the Bhagavatam. As much as we have realized the unlimited nature of Krishna, his nam, rup, guna, lila, that's how much we can perceive and reveal and understand the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this now an example, this unlimited nature of Krishna, as I said, his nam is unlimited, ananta nam, ananta rup, ananta gun, ananta lila. Let's take an example of his ananta rup, his sweetness, his madhurya. He is characterized as having four wonderful sweetnesses by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Lila Madhurya, sweet pastimes, very attractive, very, very witty and very clever and very funny and very unpredictable, very sweet, Madhurya Lila. And Madhurya and his Lila Madhurya and Prema, his Prema is so sweet, how he deals. He never cuts anyone's nose off. He never cuts anyone's ears off. You ever heard Krishna cutting ears off? Noses off? Maybe demons. Any lady that comes to Krishna and says, "Krishna, I am yours." Krishna says, "Fine, I'm yours. Haribo. Kubja. This one, that one. High class, low class, any class. Come on, I'll take them all. I am Krishna, Sankarshan, Krishna. I am attractive to everyone, and everyone's attracted to me. You're attracted to me? Fine. Take my loving embrace. I love you. You're not attracted to me? Okay, fine. Take my chakra. Embrace my chakra. This is very nice. You embrace my chakra. Chakra Alingata. Shishupal, I now embrace your neck. I'll embrace you around the neck. I will bite your neck. I have so much love for you, I will bite your neck. When a lover loves lover too much, the biting the neck is going on. So then Krishna says, Shishupal, I will love you so much, I will bite your neck from the front to the back. I will bite your neck here, and I'll bite your neck in the back. I will go all the way through biting your neck with my chakra. And your head will fall on the floor. Actually, it didn't fall on the floor, it went out the door. Not a drop of blood fell on the floor to spoil the yajna, Rajasi yajna. So in this way, anyone, even a demon, approaches that Krishna, that all-attractive Krishna, he receives the embrace of Krishna. Right? Keshi came and said, hey, Krishna, I love you so much, I want to swallow you. I want to swallow you, no? I want to put you inside. So he opened his mouth and said, Krishna, I want to eat you. You're so sweet. Your Rupa Madhurya is so sweet. I want to eat you. So he came. Krishna said, oh, you want to swallow me? You want to embrace me with your teeth? Then well, here, embrace my arm. Embrace my arm. I want to love you. You want to love me? I won't reject you. Here, kiss my arm. So when Krishna's left arm went in Keshi's mouth, what happened? He was so ecstatic, that embrace, that loving embrace of Krishna's arm was so ecstatic that all his teeth fell out. His eyes popped out of his head and his soul left the body. That's called a heavy embrace. In English, it's called a bear hug. Bear hug, a bear. You know a bear, what do they call it? Gora? Bola? What is it?
Balu.
It's a Balu Alingata. When a bear hugs you, you feel like you'll be just crushed to death. So this is an expression that when a husband's been separated from his wife for a long time, he's been overseas and he comes home and sees her, then he gives her a bear hug. Bear, a Balu. He just embraces her. Oh, just wants to crush her ribs. He wants his heart to melt into her heart. They're two hearts. There's some separation. My heart is behind my rib cage, and your heart is behind your rib cage. You know, the rib cage, these ribs, these bones. So we shouldn't have any separation or space between us. So we have to break those bones and melt those two hearts together. This is prema. The melting of hearts, the merging of love, the oneness. This is the real oneness, the merging. I want to serve you and love you so much that your mind and heart become one with my mind and heart. Saranam ridyam mayam. Saranam ridyam tvaham. You're in my heart. And I'm in your heart. Krishna's telling. He's telling this, who's this? Durvasa Muni, no? Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish. And Krishna said, listen, Baba, you don't know the kind of prema sambandha that's going on between Bhagavan and Bhakta. You don't know the kind of love affairs that are going on. You're some muni just sitting under the tree eating leaves and durva grass or whatever. You don't know the kind of love that we exchange, me and my devotees. I sit in their very hearts. There's not one hair breadth of separation, but there's not one hair separating me from my devotee. I'm not outside looking at him. I'm not outside embracing him. I'm inside his heart. I'm wrapped around his heart inside of his very self, and he is wrapped around me. So you're not going to have any success over here in Vishnuloka. Forget it. You better go back to Ambarish Maharaj and pray for some mercy. So back to the point of Krishna's unlimited beauty. There's in love, in prema, there are different divisions of love. Sneha man pranaya rag anurag bhav mahabhav madanakya mahabhav and mohanakya mahabhav. So when understanding these differences between the different levels of Krishna prema, between Krishna's parishad, eternal associates, Sudam and Sridhama and Subala and Krishna and Balaram and Yashoda and Nanda and all the different associates, Radharani and the gopis, there's something called rag. Rag, and then there's anurag. So rag, in rag, the symptom of rag means attachment, rag. right? Rag. R-A-G-A. Rag. Raga, rag. So in rag, the attachment for Krishna that the lover has, that the devotee has, is so great that Krishna appears to be newer and newer and newer. Ananta. Unlimited. And here's an example. Once Krishna went to the top of Govardhan Hill, and he's walking in Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and he thought, I have this new flute. The Ban Devis gave me a new flute, a new Bansuri. Naya Bansuri. And it looks very nice. And it seems to be made very skillfully and properly. The holes are in the right place, and it's polished very nicely, and some nice gold bands around it, and some nice jeweled bands. Very, very nice, beautiful. Let me play this flute. So then Krishna starts playing. Right? Bamsi. And he's playing. And as he's playing, then all the gopis come running. Lalita, Vishakha, Radharani, all go to Govardhan. And then they look, and Lalita says, oh look, there's Shyam on the top of the hill. Jai Radhaparta Sartiki, Jai. There's Shyam on the top of the hill. And then, see how beautifully he's standing? Tribanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, Tribanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, Tribanga. He's standing in such a crooked way, so enticing, so enchanting, so sweet. And he's leaning his left, he's leaning to the left, and his cheek is leaning on his arm, and he's playing to hit the high notes of the flute. He's tilting his head like this. See, isn't he so beautiful? He's so attractive. And Radharani says, she looks and, who is that? Who is that person up there? And Lita looks at her. Well, what are you talking about? This is Krishnam. This is Govinda. Gopinath. This is your Priyatam. Now, who else could it be? Who else stands like that? Who else makes your mind go upside down and your heart leave your body and you start trembling and you're perspiring and your nivibandha becomes undone? And if you know what it means, it's good. If you don't, forget it. Nivibandha. You know nivibandha? Nivibandha. Anyway, it means the knots of your underclothes. Nivibandha. The knots. Because this is a symptom in prema, in ujjvala nilamani. One becomes so ecstatic that their clothes just fall off. Right? You read in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in the Rasa Panchadai, when Krishna is playing, having his rasa dance, and the devis in heaven, the swarga devis, are traveling in the biman with their husbands. And they're flying around and they're watching the rasa lila. Of course, the husbands could not see the gopis, Vishwanath Chakravartipad tells. Husbands could only see Krishna. Oh, look how Krishna is dancing, so nice music. Because they're males. They're in Purusha Abhiman. They cannot see the gopis. But their wives could definitely see the gopis because they're in Prakriti Bhav. And they definitely saw Krishna. Because Krishna is to be seen by every woman. And Krishna is attractive to every woman in the whole universe. So they were seeing everything, the rasa dance. And as they were hearing the flute, it's described that it says that the knots of their underwear, that their clothes were slipping from their body. So this was, so Lalita was saying, who else causes these effects when we see that person, that Madhurya Rupam, and we feel that Madhurya Prema rising in our hearts, then what happens with that Lila Madhurya, that Rupa Madhurya, when that Rupa Madhurya combines with the Prema Madhurya in our hearts, what happens? What kind of magic happens? It creates the desire for Lila. It creates the desire for pastimes. We want to relish the Lila, the sweetness of Krishna's embrace and dancing and Julin and Hindol and Banbihar and Jal Keli. All pastimes we want to relish and enjoy. Isn't it? Lila. And then Lila Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, then Venu. So all these sweetnesses are coming. The Venu Madhurya, the sweetnesses of the flute. The Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's form. But they're all unlimited. So Lalita is explaining, saying, Radharani, who else could this be? And she said, I've never seen that person. I've never seen that person before. Shyam? What is this Shyam? Shyam? Shyam. Govinda. Maybe we have one Shyam Govinda. Govinda. And she said, what are these names, Shyam? And the gopis gathered around in a semicircle, chatikar, a half circle. And they're all looking at Radharani. Lalita, Vishaka, Champak, Chitra, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Tungavidya, Induleka. They're completely amazed. Completely chamatkar. This is what is happening. This girl is saying she never saw that person on the top of Govardhan. And this Saki is saying that she, what is this name, Shyam? I've never heard this name before. Shyam. Govinda. I never heard. What do you... And then Saki said, what are you talking about? You spent the whole night of Brahma with him. Last night, you were dancing in the Ras Lila, and that night was as long as a day of Brahma. You just spent millions of years with that person up there on top of the hill. That's Shyam Govinda. And you're saying you've never seen him before? You don't recognize him? You've never heard his name before? This is called rag. Rag. You have such attachment, such loving attachment for Krishna, that if you see him now, and then you look at Parthasarathi, and then you turn your head and go like this, and then you turn back, who's that? Who is that? I never saw before. What? That outfit? Then, who is that? There's so many personalities here. Every time I look, there's some different person on the altar. Obviously, we don't have that experience. Because we are not on the level of rag. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag. So this anecdote or this pastime explains this is what means rag. And then anurag is something that follows. Anurag is when the rag intensifies more and more, it becomes anurag. And there's another pastime to explain that, and we'll tell it some other time. So this pastime indicates the unlimited nature of Krishna. So similarly, these verses of Bhagavatam are very unlimited. So we as sadhakas, practitioners of bhakti, and we as aspiring preachers or distributors of the holy name, Namhat, representatives of the Namhat of Nityananda, we can learn something from this verse about this great spiritual doctor, this great spiritual doctor known as Maharaj Parikshit. And how is he dealing with his patient? He's dealing with his patient with great compassion, great love, concern, care, TLC, tender loving care. And with full attention, samahitena manasa, samahitena manasa, full attention. He was absorbed. What is your difficulty? How does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Why does it hurt? How can I help you? What can I do for you? This is, Prabhupada once said, that a preacher should have the heart of a Bengali grandmother, and he should have the courage of a British soldier. So in other words, what that means is that he should have great love and great compassion and should be fearless, abide. Oh, you want me to go preach in the Russian countries, in the Muslim countries? Ooh, no thank you. No thank you. I'll stay here, thank you. There's all those Muslims are a little wild, a little crazy. If they see my little chuti there. What's it called, choti? They see my little sika, they may, have a little funny words on my head. So this is not fearless. So this we want to learn from this verse. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj, I'm also preaching. I'm also meeting people and so-called preaching to them, trying to give them Krishna. As much as I have received and attained and realized, I am trying to distribute. I'm trying to help them. But are you really trying to help them? Are you motivated and moved by genuine compassion? And when you're exchanging with them and listening to them, and are you samahitena manasa? Are you listening to them with great attention? That this is a matter of life and death for you. Oh, this person is suffering in a samsara, birth and death. How can I help them? What is the problem? And of course, the problem is, as we will hear, that the real cause, Aklesha Bijani. Aklesha Bijani, the root cause, the Bijani, the root cause, the very foundational problem. The source of all difficulty is this Klesha. The source of all this difficulty is one has not heard about Krishna. One has not heard the holy name of Krishna. So this is some point we can learn from here. Of course, there are some characteristics or qualifications to hear. Because hearing is actually the way we become free from the kleshas and sufferings and difficulties. Hearing about Krishna, his Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, is very relishable and sweet. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. Tapta jivanam. We are tapta jivanam. We are burning. Tap means burning. Tapta jivanam. We are burning in the samsara. Samsara davana lalita loka. Lida means klesha. Lida means suffering. Samsara davan. Davanala means fire, no? Forest fire. Samsara davan. Samsara davana lalita loka. Chanaya karunya guna. Ganaganatvam. That Ganasham, that Ganasham Das, that Ganasham Das, my Sri Gurudev has come as a representative of Ganasham, Krishna, Govinda, Gopinath. Gana means he's thick. Ganagatvam, he's a rain cloud full of mercy. He's thick with mercy. Samsara dhavan alalita loka, chanaya karunya. His is the mercy of Karuna, compassion. Chanaya, he's come to liberate me and everyone. Patita Pavan, Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Kripa Binda Dio, Chanaya Karuna, Gana Gana. He, that Ganasham Das, my Sri Gurudev, who is the Krishna Preshta, he's Ganasham Preshta. He's very dear to Ganasham. And Gana means that he's like thick. He's thick. His heart is saturated with mercy. His mind is saturated with compassion. And the rasas of Krishna's leelas and form are swirling and moving within his heart. And he wants to sprinkle the living entities and shower. He wants to shower down on their hearts and minds with that nectar. Nectar shower. What's that? Prema. What's that? That book is called Madhurya Kadambini. Madhurya Kadambini. Kadambini means a monsoon shower. Kadambini. Kadambini means like rows, or I think Kadamba means a row. Isn't it? Kadamba means row after row. Kadambi. A row of clouds. Kadambini. Kadambini. Clouds after clouds after a full of sweetness. So this, we can learn this from this verse. But, so we have to hear. Hearing is there. But then there's qualifications. There's two qualifications to hear. First qualification is to hear properly as Parikshit Maharaj is hearing so nicely from this Dharma, Brisha Dharma, the first qualification to hear properly is eagerness. One must be sincere. One must be sincere and very eager. I want to hear about Krishna. I really want to. I understand the benefits. I understand and I want to derive the benefits. I want to drink the nectar with my ears. I want to relish the sweetness with my heart. My heart cries for sweetness. I am crying for sweetness. This is a bitter world. They say this is bittersweet. The material world and relationships between lovers and friends and family and children is called bittersweet. Sometimes it's very bitter when your relative dies, uncle, father, son, etc. It's very bitter. But sometimes it's very sweet. Different exchanges, festivals and birthdays and parties and traveling, and it can be very sweet. But it's this sukha and dukkha, this balance. Never one thing. Always, if the sweetness comes today, tomorrow the bitter will follow it. There's like two sides of a coin. Bitter. Bitter one side, sweet the other side. But our heart is hankering to drink an ocean of sweetness. We cannot drink enough of that sweetness. That sweetness is here in Krishna. Krishna consciousness. So we should be eager to hear these sweet topics and be sincere. That's the first qualification to hear. And the other qualification, the second qualification to hear, is that the speaker, whomsoever is speaking Krishna Katha, he must be bona fide. What does it mean, bona fide? He must be authentic, genuine, qualified. What does that mean? That means he must be coming in parampara. He must be coming in parampara to receive the blessings of his guru and his guru and his guru, and ultimately the Adi Guru Krishna. And who is the guru of Krishna? Radha. She is the Prem Guru. It is Prema that is full of sweetness. And Radharani is that Mahabhav Swarupini, because Prema in its highest degree is nothing else but Mahabhav. And Mahabhav is personified, exemplified, and distributed by Srimati Radharani. So that she is the source of that sweetness that we're hankering for. This Prema Madhurya. The sweetness of Krishna is known as Prema Madhurya in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is one of his four unique characteristics that you don't find in Narayan or Vishnu or any other avatar. Prema Madhurya. But the source of Krishna's sweet love, Prema Madhurya, is none other than Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj says that he's quoting Krishna, and Krishna is telling, Ami Shishya Hai, Ami Prem Guru Radhe. He's saying, I am a Shishya, Ami Shishya Hai. I am a disciple of Srimati Radharani. This is Krishna. Shamasundara is saying, I am a disciple, a Chela, a Shishya of Srimati Radharani, and she is my Prem Guru. She is the spiritual master of love, the love guru. And she has a love bomb. She bombs Krishna with her love. She overwhelms him. If someone throws a bomb in your pocket, you know, bomb. If someone throws a bomb in your pocket, then you will blow to smithereens, right? You'll blow up to a million pieces. So Radharani, she bombards Krishna with her love. Simply a sidelong glance of Radharani. She has so much prem prabhav. Her prem is so much influence that Kripa Kataksha, Radha Kripa Kataksha, she simply looks with one quarter of her eye, 25% of her eye, there's 100%. And she only looks with 25%, with one quarter of her glance, sidelong glance. Krishna becomes destroyed. He becomes annihilated. He becomes blown up. She bombards him with her prem. And what is the reaction? Like if you throw a bomb, that is called a cause. And what is the effect? The effect is the reaction. If we throw a bomb in a building, what happens to the building? It disappears. Like the World Trade Center. Or no, that wasn't a bomb. Well, there's a plane, an airplane bomb. Then what? Now you see it? Now you see it? Now you don't. It's a phrase in English. Now you see it? Now you don't. No, you see it? Abhidarshan? Badme darshan nahi. There's the World Trade Center. Oh, the tallest building in the world. 110 stories. Oh, so much. Huh? Hey, where is it? Hey. Where'd it go? So it becomes destroyed, annihilated, disappears. So that happens to Krishna. So Radharani, her love is so vast and unlimited that simply one glance, it destroys Krishna. And what is the effect on Krishna? He's playing his flute. He's watching the water. He's watching the waves of the Yamuna and the currents of the Yamuna move towards Mathura. And he's just watching the water and seeing the lotuses there. The blue lotuses, yellow lotuses, pink, white, red. So many beautiful lotus flowers near the shore, just near the shore, the side, the tata. And he's looking at those beautiful lotus flowers. And he's playing a very sweet and poetic tune and melody on his flute. And then Radharani comes and she stands just behind a kadamba tree. Because it's one of her favorite trees. Tamal is her favorite tree, but kadamba is Krishna's favorite tree. So she's standing behind the kadamba tree in the banks of the Yamuna. And Krishna is playing his flute, looking at the Yamuna, and he's absorbed in what we call a sweet reverie. It's a little difficult to speak English in a country where it's the second language. But if you know English, then you can appreciate it. A sweet reverie, a sweet reminiscence. Krishna is playing the flute, and the tune is coming nicely, automatically, beautifully, and perfectly, because he's Kala Nidhi. He's Kala Nidhi. He's an ocean of arts. Kala Nidhi. Maha Nidhi. Kala Nidhi. So that is going on just perfectly on its own. Beautiful music. Just the most beautiful music that the demigods' heads are spinning, and Anantashesh is going like this and like that. And the demigods can't even comprehend the sound of Krishna's flute. But meanwhile, that's going on and out of his flute. But his mind is going this way and this way and this way. As the current, as the Yamuna is flowing in its currents, and whirlpools are sometimes going around like this in the water, Krishna's mind is flowing in currents to the different pastimes that he shared with Radharani and enjoyed with Radharani. And when he remembers those different pastimes, as his mind is moving in the river, then he starts to spin. His mind starts to spin. So the spinning and turning of Krishna's mind as he becomes more and more absorbed in the sweet embrace or sweet exchange with Radharani is like the whirlpools in the Yamuna. The water's going like this, right? This is called a whirlpool. You know, it's not a washing machine. People buy a washing machine called a whirlpool, right? But it's in the water is going like this, it's called a whirlpool. You understand? So now, this is Krishna's position. Now Radharani's standing there, and her hand is like this. She's leaning on the kadamba tree. She's looking. Oh, so much sweetness. Sham. And she can't look. She can't look all the way at Sham. If she continues to look, she will just melt. She will melt into a pool of prema ras. She will melt into a pool of prema ras, and there will become a new lake. A new sarovara will form at the base of that kadamba tree. This is how the lakes of Vrindavan were formed originally. There's so many lakes in Vrindavan. They're not sourced by underground springs or from an accumulation of water or some river. The source of the lakes and rivers, the lakes, the sarovaras and kundas in Vrindavan is the melted bodies of Krishna and his parishads. So she's fearing, oh, if I continue to look at him, I will become a lake. I will become Radha Kund. So she looks away and she starts looking at the Yamuna. So Radharani's looking at the Yamuna, going like this. Sham's looking at the Yamuna. But then as she looks at the Yamuna, what color is the Yamuna? What color is the Yamuna? Rang, konsa rang? Yamuna. Sham, Kalindi, blackish. She looks at, and then when she looks at the Yamuna, then again the same thing happens as when she looked at Sham. She starts to whirl and swirl and ecstatic symptoms. Oh, I can't look at the Yamuna because this Yamuna is filling me with Krishna Prem. This is Krishna Mayi. Her name is Krishna Mayi. Wherever she looks, she sees Krishna, becomes absorbed in Krishna. So she says, well, let me just glance, let me see what Krishna is doing now. So then she glances, one slight Kripa Kataksha, she looks. At that moment, when Radharani glances towards Krishna, because Krishna has been playing his flute, but there's been an extraordinary fragrance wafting through the air. Wafting. Floating through the air, there's been an extraordinary fragrance and aroma coming from underneath the kadamba tree. And it wasn't kadamba flowers. It was the fragrance of Radharani's sweet transcendental body. So as Krishna was playing his flute and looking at Yamuna, all of a sudden, then he turned and said, Where? He stopped playing his flute. He's saying, where? He's trying to locate the origin of that wonderful fragrance. And he turns. And when he looks in the direction of the kadamba tree, at that moment, his glance captures the sidelong glance of Radharani. Just a sidelong glance. And what happens? Krishna becomes destroyed. He drops his flute. He drops his flute into the Yamuna. Gone. Hey, he doesn't notice it. His flute is dearer than life. He sleeps with his flute. He eats with his flute. He doesn't do anything without his flute with him. Even if he disguises himself as a boatman, he puts his flute underneath his gumcha and pretends he's a boatman, a Nokabihar. Right around his boatman. The flute is always there. So now it's going to Mathura. His peacock feather is going like this, wavering in the wind, shaking in the wind. Then it goes, ooh, 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 ooh. Then, doom. The peacock feather, Morapunk. Morapunk is gone. Then it's pagri. You know pagri? Pagri? It's turban. We say turban. His pagri starts going like this. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Krishna became devastated. Nice verse in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Because we said that we have klesh. We're suffering. Adiatmika klesh, adipotika klesh, adidaivika klesh. It's too cold, it's too hot, my back hurts, my stomach hurts, shir dard, pate dard, this dard. So the karmis are trying to get some pain balm, some ointment to remove the pain. Klesha chordye. Klesha, but they don't understand the klesha bijani. The root cause of the suffering is they're not connected with Krishna. They're not hearing about Krishna. They're not serving Krishna. They're not seeing Krishna and tasting Krishna, which we are about to do. We have 5 minutes more and we will taste Krishna. In a very intimate embrace, a very intimate embrace, tongue to tongue. So when you take prasadam, it's Krishna Fena. It's Krishna Fela. Fela? Krishna Fela. It's Krishna saliva. You know saliva? This inside the mouth is called saliva, the water in your mouth. So how do you get the saliva inside someone's mouth? Only if they put their tongue inside your mouth. So when you're taking prasadam, you're kissing Krishna. You're embracing Krishna tongue to tongue. In the whole Anti Leela, there's over 100 verses about kissing Krishna by taking Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Radha Bhav, he says, oh, what is the taste? What is the taste of this Mahaprasad? And then Sourav Damodar and Ramananda Roy said, oh, I don't know. You better tell us. You better tell us, Gauranga, what is that taste? And he said, haven't we all tasted these things before? It's spices and rice and sweetness. And then he goes on to explain the sweetness of Krishna's lips. Unbelievable. This is the solution to hear, but we may not be inclined to hear. There's a very nice verse I just want to read from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. He analyzes our situation. He says, Dehe baise ripugan jateka indriyagan keha kara bhajya nahi hai shunile na shunakan janile na jane pran jridayite na pare nishchay. He says that my ari ripugana indriyagan, my indriyagan, the group of my senses, my 5 senses, or 10 senses you can say, they are my ripugan. They are a group of enemies. Ripu. Like we have Murari Ripu, the killer of the Murari demon, a name for Krishna is called Murari Ripu. Muraripu. So the senses, the group of senses are a ripugan. They are our enemies. They're actually our enemies. And then he explains why. Kehakara bhadya nahi. Kehakara bhadya nahi hai. Bhadya nahi. They are not submissive. My senses are not submissive. They're like tigers. They don't submit to me, my will. They force me to serve them. They don't do what I say. They make me do what they say. So my senses, the bhajanahar, they're shunile na shunakan, janile na jane pran. He says, when I tell my ears, kana shuna, shunakan, when I tell my ears, listen. You should listen to this Harikata. I tell my ears, you should hear the holy name. I tell my ears, you should listen to the Bhagavatam. What do my ears do? They rebel. They say, hell no. I don't want to hear the holy name. I don't want to listen to the Bhagavatam. This is so nice. He says, shunile na shunakan, kan means ear. Janile na jane pran. He says then, my mind, pran in Bengali, pran means mind. Also, In Hindi or Sanskrit, pran means mind, consciousness, life airs, means many things. So he says, when I tell my mind to understand a particular point, when I tell my mind, you should understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You should understand the Nam Tattva and the Jiva Tattva and the Prema Tattva. You should understand these things and study these things. When I tell my mind that, my mind says, na jani. Jani lena, na jani pran. My mind says, my mind also rebels and says, I don't want to understand those particular points. And then he says, jridayite na pari nishchoy. And as a result, I cannot be firm. I cannot be drita. I cannot become firm. And nishchoy means about the conclusions or the perfection of Krishna consciousness. That's a very nice verse. Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Dehe baise ripugan jateke indriyagan kehakara bhadya nahi hai shunile na shunakan janile na jane pran jridayite na pare nishchay. This is Prem Bhakti Chandrika. So Thank you very much for your kind attention.